In the ongoing effort to avoid commercials on our show, we bring you a commercial from us. My subby and I have created a boutique adult toy store on my website. We have handpicked items that are low cost and show up on your doorstep with all of your other Amazon packages. Make sure, though, that you open them, not your kids. Go to kristenkellogg.com or find the link in the notes of this episode. We will get a percentage of the sales from the items exclusively on my storefront. You get some special items to enhance your FLR, and we all win without a stupid ass commercial.
So that I just got a picture. I don't know, Christine, but I got a picture to whack-a-mole when you were saying, like, dump it on her and see what happens. It's like, no, keep popping up. Whack. Keep popping up. Can't keep it down.
That's a great, that's exactly how I felt too. Like, I would kind of grasp one thing and then it would be, wham, here's another one.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. If you are not 18 years of age or older, there are thousands of other podcasts you can listen to, and you can come back and visit us when you are 18. This podcast is meant solely for entertainment. We are not licensed doctors, lawyers, or therapists. We simply have a fascination with the lifestyle and a love to share it with you and get your thoughts and opinions.
Welcome back. What's it been? 6 years?
Yeah,
oh, hey, my subby's here.
Yeah.
That's right. It's our podcast.
That's right. I'm not the only one here either,
though. No. So we have the famous Judy and Steve with us today, and we'll get into an introduction for them. Mm-hmm. But first, let's do a little housekeeping.
Yep.
We're alive. That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
Because many people don't know. What's the first issue of housekeeping? Are we just doing, the ladies group meeting?
January 11th.
Mm-hmm. At 7 Central Time. That link will be in my Patreon if you're interested in joining. Hit me up there. The link will be there.
Even though we're not even in Central Time anymore, we're kind of going by that, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we're not. Listen.
We're not really sure what time we're in, to be honest.
And I struggle with time zones. So,
here we are.
Don't go changing time zones on me.
No, I have your guys' time zone on my phone so that I know what time it is where you are. So that when you say this time in your time zone, I can look at that clock and say, okay, this is what time it is in ours. Time zones are a real struggle, much like directions. We are also planning with Judy and Steve a get together in Las Vegas for 5 couples total is what I'm looking at right now. It will be May 16th. Through the 19th, 2024, we are looking at renting an Airbnb off the strip of Las Vegas for 4 days. And if you're interested, send me an email. I am going to look at getting something reserved by the first of the year. So if you are dead set or sure that you can make it, reach out. We are looking at a deposit amount and all of those. I will post those details on my Patreon. And as it gets closer, I will probably also post on social media about it.
Yeah, it would probably be helpful if the couple that is thinking coming is part of the Patreon also, even at the lowest tier or whatever, so that we have that.
Yeah, that's probably a better place.
Yeah, probably everyone's kind of in one place. And
The details will be posted on my Patreon. We'll get the rest out. We have 2 couple spots left. Mm-hmm. So there's 2 spots left for 2 couples. If you're interested, shoot me a message on Patreon. Mm-hmm. New venture.
Yeah.
For funsies. It's called Subby School. It will be on my OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. December will be free. There'll be 20 audios dropped every month in between 3 to 5 minutes that are just a short segment on tips and tricks for being a better subby and just affirmations and things that will help you succeed at being a better submissive. These are geared more towards men because I am doing this from a female-led relationship perspective. So if you want to see what it's about, it will be on my OnlyFans for free in December. Mm-hmm. And starting January 1, it will be subscription only.
It's a really cheap masterclass, to be honest.
Yep. It will be audio only also. Yep. Let's get the other half of the podcast owners here. Mm-hmm. So Judy and Steve have been here almost since the damn beginning. They're OG. And we had a fantastic interview recorded with to visit us. And, well, somebody in San Francisco got it when they took our stuff.
Good content they got.
I hope they listened.
I hope they got the great content.
Yeah. They need a good ass whooping.
Yep.
But, so here we are for take two. Mm-hmm. And this one will make it. Mm-hmm. Because...
this one's recorded in the cloud, so ain't no one going to steal that.
Yeah, so fuck off, fuckers. So Judy and Steve practice full-time chastity, and we are going to talk to them about their journey, how they got to where they are. I do have an email question for the boys.
Yep.
Judy and Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself.
We have been together for 40 years. We met in college, and we've been married for over 30. We have been practicing chastity on and on with, well, it's on now, but it started 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
I'm not good with math. And it's been full-time for...
3 or 4.
Yeah.
3 or 4.
3 or 4 years. We've gone through numerous iterations of... chastity devices and times that it works well and times that it works less well.
I think what's important to understand is that our relationship was vanilla for a long time. And a long time ago, even though I was very kinky and Judy knew I was kinky, I stuffed that kinkiness away for a long time and said, you know, my relationship is really worth more than, you know, fabulous sex or that kind of instant. So that was more important. And we raised children and all of that other thing. And eventually I got old enough and comfortable enough with myself to, you know, actually bring it forward and say, look, this is something I need to have in my life. And maybe we can work something out here. I would say the other thing that really brought it to the forefront is as you get older and your relationship matures with your spouse, you have to continue to look for things that you can do together so that you do not grow apart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at that particular point in time, I proposed this to Judy and I said, I can't think of a way to make sure that we grow together better than to take on some of this lifestyle and to make it our own. And that would really secure the bonds between us. And that was a very important point. I think that's what caught Judy's attention the most, was that, you know, we both wanted to be, you know, we didn't, after 20 years, we didn't want to call it quits and everybody goes their own way. We wanted to have 20 years and then grow even closer as we continued.
Fantastic way to present that. Like it's you're taking out like the kink side of it really, and you're focusing more on the relationship side of it and like the real reasons why people do this. Like that was brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you phrased it, made it your own, you know, made it your version of what this whole thing is. And that's important because I don't know that there's really one cookie cutter way of doing that.
Judy, how did you react came to you with that?
I was a little surprised. I grew up in suburbia, USA, and really didn't know anything about it. So let's just say he's a very patient man. Up and down. And like you said, Brian, like make it your own because I keep – and still even – to this day, you know, when I get down on things, it's like I'm not doing it right, or, you know, where can I go to figure it out, or what's the right way? But there is no right way. It's the right way for us, the right way for you, and the right way for whoever's in the relationship. And that's what I keep have to remind myself, and I hear you, Christine, your words. That helps.
For years, I tried to, we read together. We read a lot of blog posts together. We read a lot of books together, you know, I think maybe 15 years ago, we bought Uniquely Rika, Practical FLR. I mean, the list of books that we either read online or the blog posts that we read were were one way. But I think what really turned the corner for us and for Judy was having a pal who was in the same kind of relationship. And that's kind of when we discovered your blog. Yeah. One November, December, we'd been reading another blog, and it referenced your very new podcast.
Right when you started.
And we listened to that, and I remember listening to a couple of episodes, and Judy and I having, we'd pause it and have a conversation, and then we'd go, keep going. Mm-hmm. And you said so many of the things that I had said, but they were coming from you. So it made it a little easier for Judy to understand.
It wasn't coming from you. Exactly.
It wasn't coming from me. I needed to step away and let her like make her own little path and develop it. And she needed a pal. She needed a buddy. She needed someone she could bounce some things off to tell about the struggles. Not just me, but, you know, someone who wasn't in the relationship who could
have something more real. Because what I always still struggle with is when you're reading stuff, it's like, yeah, who's writing that? Yeah, is that real or is that just fantasy? Yeah. So that was helpful.
Yep.
I say this all the time too. Like the Judy that I met in the beginning is so different from the Judy that is now. Like it's just so cool to see, and it really gives me faith in these relationships too, because you know, it can be really overwhelming for the dominant as well as the submissive. But you know, if this isn't something that you have ingrained in you or you've been practicing for years, all of it can be very overwhelming. And you know, I tend to be somewhat of a perfectionist. Like if I'm going to do something, I want to do it well. And this is a whole new area for me. I don't know, and there really is no right or wrong, like we've said, but it's just so awesome to see how your guys's relationship has evolved and how comfortable Judy's gotten in her role and how well it has worked out.
And the more comfortable she got, the better she did, the better, you know, it was a slow roll and then it kind of picked up speed. And now it's very natural for us now. It is not as awkward as it was. So when you ask what kind of relationship, I always say we're in a mature FLR relationship. You know, where we've battled some of those mental issues, physical issues, and we've worked our way through them. You know, they don't disappear. They need to be worked on. They need to be talked about. And the one conversation was usually not enough to settle it. It could be a couple. It could take weeks or months or years. Domestic discipline took years to come about.
In a good way.
So on that note, tell us what your domestic discipline looks like, or what that is in your relationship.
Well, you missed it. It was last night. It was a day late.
It's usually Tuesday.
There are some things that you cannot count on happening all the time on a Tuesday.
I do like Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Except this week. Right, so domestic discipline for us is not like just a beating session, what people would think. It's more of a keeping, it's a maintenance session. It's more just to keep things moving the way you want. And this worked well this week. This did not a lot of times for me. It's, you know, and now I'm keeping it on my phone because my memory is shot, but it would be like, yeah, there was something last week and then you got 10 extra. I can't exactly remember what it was. So now last night I pulled up my phone. I'm like, you said, and I wrote, you know, and I
did
on Tuesday, you said this and this, and that earned you 10 more extra. Mm-hmm. So that's really helpful for me. And then I think it seems to be working. And I just, afterwards, I'll say, do you understand? And then, because he's gagged, he either has to shake his head yes or no. So I know. Mm-hmm. And there was an extra explanation there, because at first it was no. I said, well, let me try this again. Let me explain this. Mm. And then it was okay. So that was very helpful. But it's kind of, you know, so even when I still struggle with, when I get upset about things, I don't always give. There's 50 for maintenance is what we do, and then there's extras depending on what happens. And sometimes if I'll get upset, I'll just get upset, and later on he'll be like, you know, you could adjust, but I still am not in that punitive mindset, and that's something I'm working on.
So when he does that, do you feel like he's tapping from the bottom? Or do you take it as just a suggestion?
It depends on my mind frame, frame of mind,
sure.
My mindset. So yep. I try, and so sometimes I will get upset and say, you're tapping from the bottom. But then I just kind of take a deep breath and be like, well, he's teaching me a better way to help him.
Yes.
So that's how I try and look at it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as you're aware, Judy was very, she had a very difficult time with domestic discipline because why would I hit someone that I love that takes care of me, that all that other stuff? And it wasn't until one conversation where I said, look, I'm not, look, we all can be better people, right? And I am not my best person unless I'm treating you and talking to you and being with you in the right way. So if you could take it away, the idea that you're hitting someone that you love, you're using corporal punishment on someone you love, and think about it in a term that would say, you know, this is so that you understand how to be a better person. I'm gonna help teach you how to be a better person inside, you know, how to treat me better. That's a good thing. That's not necessarily, you know, corporal punishment is not necessarily bad just because it's corporal punishment if the reasons behind it are appropriate.
And I've grown to find it very fun.
Yes.
What?
Me too.
And the other thing I don't understand is we took the sexual component completely out of it. So domestic discipline is not anything. I'm not fully undressed. I usually leave my T-shirt on. It's not some sort of intro to a kinky exam. As a matter of fact, to Judy's chagrin, I don't want to play on a night that we've had domestic discipline.
Which I get turned on. So it's like
she likes. Now there's a difference between play and, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do, you know, performing, so to speak. And it's very ritualistic. We both have words that we say before we start, and it's always done the same way, I try to make sure that it's always done the exact same way every time. And there's a few moments, and then there's after domestic discipline, there's a calming down time, because sometimes I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of domestic discipline all of a sudden. You know, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
And sometimes after, you know, working really hard at making everything good and taking care of Judy in a really well way, and I've got no extra swats coming to my direction, and then I'm still over the bench, you know, I get up and I could be a little warm inside, not just on the backside, but inside, you know, a little. So I spend a few minutes in the corner just like calming down, right? And she cleans up and that works out well.
Thank you.
And then there's a thank you, ma'am, afterwards. And then we completely move on, which is why fooling around after it can be so much more, much more of a stretch for me at that particular point in time.
Yeah, especially if you're a little heated. At that particular moment, you probably don't want you. I mean, it's real hard to switch gears from, you know, being in that moment, you're a little heated and now all of a sudden you're going to go straight into playtime. Mm-hmm. I couldn't switch gears like that.
Yeah, I have a tough time. I mean, I understand why it turns Judy on. And early on, I said, it really has gotten you twisted up a little bit, hasn't it? And she said, yes. I said, well, come on, we'll take care of that now. Because in that instance, that's fine. I like to do that, but you know, she wanted to bind me up and, you know, do some other things. Yeah, I'm not really there right now mentally.
Yep, that makes sense.
I identify with the calming down part, the coming down after the, you know, for lack of a better term, people call it a scene or whatever. But in that moment, coming down from that moment, there was a time over last winter where we had been doing essentially the maintenance thing and some other things. And I actually, in the calm down, I started to tear up, but I didn't feel sad. It wasn't like sadness or it wasn't anything. It was just an overwhelm of some some sort of
release.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad or good thing necessarily. Probably more of a good thing than a bad thing. Anyways, that's probably the first time that that has happened to me in this whole walk, and it was really interesting. It was very introspective. Like, well, that's never happened before. What happened there? You know. So I thought about it. Talked about it quite a bit afterwards, why that would be. So
that just made me want to do it more.
Yep.
Okay, so my next question is, when did the piercing come into play, and did you say you guys have been practicing chastity since the beginning? When did that come into play?
The chastity came into first. I was about 40 years old, so 20 years ago. We'd gone on an airplane to fly to California. I got a couple of articles off of the Altar Boy website. Most of them were fiction. They were two fiction ones. I gave them to Judy to read very quietly on the airplane.
A long plane ride.
And,
well, Steve.
And that started the conversation. It took a year or two before we actually ordered a chastity device. And just like many of the other people be listening to this blog, we went through thousands of dollars in the search of a comfortable long-term wear chastity device. At one particular time in 2008 or 9, we got a belt. We had also been going to a convention in Rhode Island, like a kink convention, and we saw some things there.
First, I want to say the belt. We went to someone's home.
Yeah, we went to New Hampshire,
and she actually fitted him like it was a whole big deal.
And it was thousands of dollars, yes, that belt. And it didn't work very well. So
the idea was awesome, but yeah.
It was tough.
It was a lot. It was big. And
so I bet essentially what happened is we settled on the CB6000, which at the time was just out, and it had the long tube, which was so much longer than I ever was. And it was loose, and you could pull out of it. But then, you know, obviously we tried to get some of the other attachments, and those have ended up cutting me instead of actually making it more difficult to pull out. So those went out. So, you know, when I read about people's experience looking for and this is, you know, 2008, 2007, you know, this is a long time ago.
They have not perfected the equipment back then.
There was not as much money in it now as there is, and there weren't as many manufacturers even concerned about it as there are. And then, but one thing that I did notice after a while is that the CB6000 came out with a short cage, and it was in such a manner that there was a slot at the end. And then one of the websites that I'd gone to showed this little cable that would run out through the slot at the end and up around the other side. And that would be like an anti-pullout, but you needed a Prince Albert piercing, obviously, to make it done. Ever the ingenious guy, I did my research on the computer and found a piercer literally 6 miles from the house. And
they did it. We'd been there before. Anyway, they do tattooing and piercing, so we knew they were reputable. It was clean.
But Judy didn't come with me the first time. I went down and did the investigation myself. And after stumbling, I stumbled through the conversation with a nice woman. There was a woman behind. And she said, well, you're going to want I actually brought the CB tube with me to show them what I was looking for. And she said, oh, yeah, we can do that. And by the way, the Prince Albert piercing is the Cadillac of genital piercings. Well, that's all I had to hear, right? It's the Cadillac.
Have to have that one.
I got
to
get that one.
And I said, let me see your picture. It has to look good.
So I showed her a picture online. And Like 6 weeks later, we were back. We picked out the ring, and it was basically a ring with a captured ball. And the idea was, once you pierced, you had to wait 6 or 8 weeks for it to fully heal. And that was done in like late December, early January, no, late December, something like that. Because I remember going skiing, and it was still a little raw. So I, there were a few times I really raced down that slope.
Wow.
And then
I had a doctor's appointment. I had a doctor's appointment. I think I sent you an email about this. Then I had a doctor's appointment. I was so embarrassed that I...
That he took it.
I pulled it out.
With my permission. Yeah. And, you know, didn't do it by yourself. Because I was worried too, and then
I couldn't get it back in
because it wasn't healed yet. Don't do that, people who are listening. Don't take it out early because then you have to go and do it again.
And doing it again hurts twice as much as it does the first time.
But
I bet
we love it now, and it was totally worth it. So just don't make the same mistake. Learn from us, and then you'll be great.
We can't decide. I think about doing that or having him do that, and I know he would do that if I pushed hard enough. But, I mean, he's 53, and I don't know. A
dog with no new tricks. And...
But it's so pretty with the piece of jewelry in it. Well, I don't know about yours, but his is so pretty.
You can only... the funny thing is, with a new chassis device, the piercing never goes back in. Like it hasn't been in years. We didn't even bring it on the trip.
But the new chastity device we have has a piece that goes through the piercing. So the jewelry is not in, but the device is in.
Yes.
So it is being used.
Okay. So I have a question. And Judy, I know I've asked you this question before, but I can't remember what your answer was. When he has the jewelry in, does that make a difference during intercourse? Like, can you feel it?
Not really. No. Mm. It's not like, oh my God. No. I was worried. So, like, you wonder how much of it is maybe I do. I must. But no, No.
Yeah.
It's fine. And a lot of people say they like it. It makes it more exciting. I don't know.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
But to me, there was no negative.
Yeah. So that ties in, and then, so tell us a little bit, on the last interview, we talked about the newest and greatest device, and so tell us a little bit, it is fantastic. It's pretty, and sorry, Steve, if that's not the word you want to use to describe your cage, but it is pretty.
It is.
An engineering marvel.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
It's really... Like after like 10 years of them, those smart people futzing around in manufacturing, someone finally said, hey, I got that. You know, we can do this comfortable, secure.
But you have to give them exact measurements, you know, because it was all done online. So we took the old plastic cage because now it's titanium.
Yes, titanium.
And we measured using that. So we were pretty confident that it was going to fit because we knew what worked for him already. So that was an advantage.
So we had a bunch. There were many, like I said, we went through a bunch of CBs. You know, I had a bag full of CBs that ended up going in the trash eventually. But there's a website out of California called Lock the Cock. And like in 2016 or something like that, they had all of a sudden there's a huge number of CBs on the, you can get them on Amazon now. They're all over the place. And we went to Lock the Cock, and there was one particular hard plastic CB that had a space for Prince Albert, you know, had a piece that would be used to the Prince Albert. And I said, you know, I think this one is better than the CB6000 with the short and the wire. And she could have never put me in that. There were just too many working parts. And we got that one. And that one had a lot of working parts also, but it fit really well. It was comfortable. We had two ring size changes
And this is still not the one he's in now.
Not this the one. This is the predecessor. And once we had that fitting very well, it was easy to take measurements off of that one and relate it to the titanium.
But I have to say, with that one, I didn't do the putting on and taking off because there were too many pieces for the technologically challenged me.
Yeah.
So this new one that we have, I can do.
You know, it's like
easily.
It was like
three pieces now.
But the other one was like six pieces. You know those puzzle rings that you used to get as a kid. If you put this ring here and this
can't
ring
do
here,
the spatial relationship
puzzle. It was just too tough. Admittedly, it was tough. I mean, it was easier than the CB6000, which we had to use like a pantyhose to pull the shaft into the thing and the rest of it. And we tried. Yeah, I had a string and we'd feed through
the
end.
Hear about the-
But the new one is three pieces, and it is titanium, and it is very comfortable.
And if you don't have the Prince Albert, it would just be two pieces, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it would probably be about two pieces. But we listened to the instructions, and they said wider is bigger, but shorter is better. So we did all of those things, and now I understand completely why they said that.
Through what's that? I don't know if we're supposed to say where we like to.
This one was through Etsy, and it was called Badass
Workroom,
and they had a million of them, and we picked out one that we liked. Now, most of the other ones had been like pretty much full enclosures, so they stunk and they smelled and they were tough to clean, and this one is open, and I can clean it really well in the bathroom, and then it's easy to clean. It can go in the dishwasher. It's not going to change its shape or its form. So 20 years later,
we finally are
I'm in permanent chastity, right?
But I have to say, that's not to say we haven't had to take it off. Like just this week. I don't know what I did. I caught him somewhere, and 3 days later, he's like, something's not right, and...
She pinched me putting it on. She didn't mean to, but there's a little bit of piece of skin gets stuck between a piece. And
he's still healing well, but it's still on.
It's still on.
But he's healing, so we're all good.
What a trooper.
Well, I like seeing the key on her. I like it when she's walking, like we're walking the trail or we're in the grocery store and she turns around and I see the key hanging off the back of her pants or... You know, she pulls up the pant leg and the key is wrapped around her ankle. And it's such an attachment. It means that we're together. Like, really, we're together.
So you like the idea when I walk around here and it hits the floor and it jiggles?
Yeah, I like, you know, when it catches my attention. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. There's something about the key that's very powerful. And it's very, like you said, that's the attachment. You know, I know what that key is for. Really, nobody else around me knows what it's for, you know.
Our kids think it's the key to the shed.
Well, that's what we told them, but I don't know. I mean, even the kids now, they saw something and they're like, Mom, what's 50 maintenance? I just ignored it and went on to the next thing because I don't know what to say, but... stop being so observant.
Yeah, our kids are older, so it's not as big a deal if that kind of stuff shows right. up.
We don't want to. We don't sure. want to. Well, I'd say like psychologically harm them any more than we have already.
No, we have already.
I would guess that your kids are not psychologically harmed. I would guess they're actually very well-rounded human beings. Coming from you two. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Well, I was thinking about this the other day, and maybe you might want to hook into this, but you know, you like to say how much Judy's grown, but we've all really, if you think about our first conversation going back November of 2020, we had just bought a camper. It wasn't coming in. You were living in the house trying to figure out how you were going. You know, you had this idea of getting into a camper and homeschooling because you knew the schools weren't working for your kid and all that other stuff. And if you – that was three short years ago. So when you think about the transition and how much has changed for you, for us, we're all in a very different place. And we didn't get here by accident. It took perseverance. It took hard work. It took planning. It took and you had your ups and your successes and failures, and yet we are still moving. You know, we're still forward.
Yeah. It's real interesting too, because it seems like we have been doing, it feels like we've been doing this for years. Like the days are so long in the camper.
Yeah.
Like it's so crazy. And not like in a bad way. Yeah. It just feels like we've been here for months, and it'll be a week.
Yeah.
It's a week today.
Yeah.
It feels like we've been here forever.
Yeah.
It's just.
And to your point, Steve, when you said all that stuff, it's about resiliency too.
Yeah.
You know, you hit that goal and you're going to hit those bumps along the way, but being resilient enough to say, right, this too shall pass.
Right.
You know, whatever it might be.
I think the bumps make us better people. I really do. I think they teach us a little bit about ourselves. They teach us a little bit about what we can and cannot do. If life was too easy, then we take it for granted.
I was saying to you the other day something about, like, if you didn't have the bumps, you wouldn't appreciate
the good times.
The good time. Like, right. you need the bad, not the bad, but you need the harder times to really appreciate
what you've got.
100%. Yeah. We were, you know, broke down just outside of Oklahoma City there with the two, we bent our two rims on Thanksgiving. And I've got no one around to help. So my mindset instantly went to, okay, what is step one, right? I can't look at the big picture. I need to look at one little picture at a time to solve each.
Solve one problem.
To get my family back on the road again. So. Sure.
My part in that was to sit back and shut the fuck up, because now was not the time to ask my questions.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like, again, we covered that on last episode, you know, and it was really, I don't want to say the word test. It was more of an example of seasons that you can go through or you know, sometimes... You know, the submissive needs to take the wheel for whatever reason, right? But it's out of the thought of serving that the submissive takes the wheel. It's like, wait, I got this. Let me take care of this for you.
Well, and I think we have established roles too. I mean, there's areas where I have said, I don't want to have control of this. You need to take control of this.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the editing and things like that. Like yesterday, he possibly picked up a new client and I took, you know, here,
give this
a shot, see what you think. I mean, it was interesting, but I did it. But I mean, there's areas where I've said, I don't want control of this. Like, you just need to take control. And he knows, you know, he knows how to address me so that even though he's in control, I still feel in control, if that makes sense. Like, we just kind of have our role. We do our thing. So, but there's areas I want no part of being in control of. And anything that has to do with this 1984 camper that is now falling the fuck apart because it was not ready for this. That's completely his area. And I'll ask questions. And I think sometimes my questions come across as I'm second guessing him, but it's my brain trying to understand what he's doing. I mean, this is an old camper. Leading into this question, I would be curious, what do you think, or what is the biggest benefit or your biggest why as to why you guys participate in chastity? Is it a kink, or is it more of a mental connection, or what is your reasoning behind practicing or adding this to your lifestyle?
I was like, yes and yes.
If you've been having sex with the same person since she was 21 years old, and now you're 18, and now you're 50
plus,
right. I mean,
you need to add some stuff. But definitely, to me, it's the connection. It's like a security blanket. It's like, you know, it makes me think of, like, when I was a little kid, I used to suck my thumb. I kind of feel like.
Okay, so I'll take it one step further. Okay, if you're going to masturbate, I've heard Brian do this all the time. If you're going to masturbate, then you're going to suck the life out of your sexual relationship with your wife. So if she can control that, then that just really lights a fire under your sexual relationship. There's just no question about it, okay? And in the long and the short of it, that's probably what started to happen. You know, the kids are exhausting and we're not in the mood and all right, well, she'll go to bed and I'll take care of myself. And that is a killer for the relationship, right? That's when the road of the relationship, that's when it starts to go in two separate directions.
Trust and honesty that goes into it too.
So, yeah. And then the female-led relationship portion for us was just an offshoot. Look, if you're going to do this, then let's just push a little bit further. I'm not necessarily thrilled about the way I treat you sometimes, and here's a way to even out that landscape a tremendous amount so that I do treat you better. You know, you deserve to be treated better. I think nothing hit Judy more strongly than when I pointed out her parents are in their 90s, and her father is a goddamn bully against her mother, and I hate watching it. And he doesn't treat her well. And unfortunately, it's way too late to change the dynamics of that relationship.
We've been married for over 70 years,
and he's always beat the crap out of her. And when
not physically,
verbally,
which is not better.
It's even worse. And I did not want our relationship to ever
turn into that. And when he said that, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, don't want that.
So that's where the FLR came into it. And I think the chassis really just enhances that portion of it. Although I'm waiting for the day that Judy turns around and goes, you just pissed me off so bad, you're waiting another week. You know, that hasn't really entered into it. It always could. And I would imagine I would learn my lesson really well at that particular point in time. And I mean, that is just the subject of fantasy novel and fantasy reading and fantasy blog
posts. There's people who do it. I mean, there are people who do read it. I mean, they say it. It's just.
It's not necessarily our dynamic. And thankfully, I'm not that big an asshole where she actually has to pull that card out.
So one other thing that I was going to say, I know we talked about it last time, but that might work for other people is I write things down. Like I keep track because I need to make sure that, you know, he shaves every couple days. He, you know, well, domestic discipline's easy to see, but I still put it, you know, just keep track of everything for making sure that I'm doing the taking care of him, keeping him clean, keeping him okay.
You know, it's not a one-way street. You know, I have certain responsibilities and Judy has certain responsibilities, and we both approach it from those particular sides.
So Judy, do you just do that in like your notes app on your phone, or how do you, I know you said you write things down. I mean, do you just have a notebook that you keep this in just for people who might be interested in starting that process?
I'm not that tech savvy. Shut up. I'm not that tech savvy. I print a calendar off the computer by month and I
keeps it a little clipboard in her bag. And
he's always like, I hope nobody ever finds us.
Circle for shame.
And
you
they won't know what that means. DD for domestic discipline, you know, O for orgasms, things like that, you know, just so I remember since I don't remember.
Too funny.
But,
I mean, as it is, every day now we're like, what day is it? How long have we been here? So, like, if I don't write it down, forget it.
It's so hard to keep track of days at a camper. Every day is Saturday. Like, I don't even know. I have to look at my phone to see what day of the week it is.
Every day. All the time. So, so I have a printout. I do it like 6 months at a time.
I
can't always remember where I found the one that I like. So I'll do like six at a time. So that's, I'm sure other people.
I start to get nervous when she gets to the end of her calendar.
Can figure it out on your phone. I can't. So. You do what works for you. That works for me.
Yes. Yeah. I think that would work for me too. I think I need to get better at it, just in general, not even, I mean, obviously we're not doing chastity right now because a cage is not in the budget, yeah. But when it is, I would like to have something in place to be more consistent, because I think I do much better with structure, or my brain does much better with structure than flying by the seat of my pants like I have for most of my life.
Yeah.
We have discussed on this podcast before about how when specifically my husband or my subby is in chastity, how he's in a state of arousal. Now, everybody's definition of that is obviously quite different. So my first question would be, Steve, do you feel like you are in a constant state of arousal when you are locked?
Early on, like if we're talking 10 or 12 years ago, absolutely yes. It definitely amped up my libido. As time has gone on, I'm a little bit more comfortable with the rhythm. And I'm older. So, the supercharging of the libido. I mean, I would imagine that if we had started this in my 30s and early 40s, that it would have been very, very, very difficult for me. The nocturnal arousal was a really annoying problem that has obviously subsided as I've gotten older. But it would definitely have amped it up. But it wasn't at the point where I was going to pander to it. I would not let it get in the way of doing things and taking care of the kids and being a productive member of society. But, in a quiet moment, the brain, sitting at the desk at the office and the brain starts to work. And, all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, I better get back to work. This is getting a little out of hand kind of thing.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. But I think that... we haven't been in, I've not been locked up for, years straight or whatever. We've had our seasons where it's come and gone. It's been predominantly that way, but breaks in between. So when I'm locked up, I feel that arousal. It's not a arousal physically, it's an arousal mentally.
Yeah.
Right?
The mental
state, so
yeah.
It's in my mind 98% or whatever,
Yeah.
So
it's a different arousal,
yeah,
though, than
it's not,
like right before we would have sex.
Right. Or, it's not horny.
Yeah.
It's not that, it's a different plane of that. And I find that does affect my mentality when it comes to, our relationship or the day in general. It's soothing, maybe, or it's calming. Maybe it's calming, right?
Is calming?
Yeah, it's. Okay, for instance, when I was still in my day job, I'd be at work and I would bump into things that would normally just set me off, right? Because, the job site, Brian, is different from the home, Brian, mm-hmm. where my guard is like, just fucking let it loose, I'm very much like my dad when it comes to the job site. And it's the environment, whatever it is. Anyways, all that to say is that I would come across something that would normally just set me off, but when locked, I can focus on whatever it is better, or it doesn't affect me as much as it normally would. So, and I've experienced that multiple times. It also focuses my attention more on us. The weight, the literal physical weight of it,
yeah, right,
is a with every step,
yeah,
right. It's a reminder of us. So that kind of plays into the arousal part as well, I guess.
Okay.
So that's just my take.
Okay. That was real long-winded.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'll edit a lot of that out.
So here's why I prefaced that question. I got an email from somebody, and I would love your guys's take on it. The emailer said, while I admire the lifestyle and want to partake with my spouse, is it being constantly aroused, or most of the time at least, bad for your brain in that you will get hooked on the elevated levels of dopamine, and then it's a lifelong requirement to be in more and more extreme forms of chastity to get the safe or worse high. And when it finally ends, it's going to be a huge crash, similar to the extreme withdrawals that addicts experience. So that, and that was a question. He had a question mark at the end, like, is that what you would experience? So I guess, like, my first question would be, do you two feel like you are constantly craving more dopamine, or is it like just it just maintains, it's just a different level?
Yeah. So I would say that, look, being in long-term chastity, it's not always easy. You know, nothing in life is always easy. You know, obviously there were times when I'm wicked horny, Judy's fast asleep, the keys around her ankle or whatever, and there's just no way I'm coming out. And those are not necessarily easy times. Okay, they just aren't. But I get through them, and I'm better for it afterwards, you know. Do I increasingly want to, being in chastity then want me to be a little bit more severe? You know, there's something that's said for people that are into kink that, you know, in order to keep the kink exciting to you, keep pushing the lines and boundaries. You keep pushing boundaries and, you know, you just keep pushing. But I don't think that you necessarily have, it doesn't always have to, it doesn't go that way, really.
For me.
I've definitely seen it in other things, but not here. Eventually I got to a very comfortable circumstance where I liked it. And when we got together and it came off, I was really enthused by that. And then, you know, if she said to me, I'm going to leave it off for a week, I'm like, no, I don't like that. I like wearing it. No, you know, it's as much about the wearing it and the being denied and all of that other stuff up here. So, no, I'm not always, you know, I think one of the worst things she could say to me at this time is not you're wearing it longer, but you're wearing it less, I think. And as I said to Judy, as we were going through some of these valleys up and down, you know, it was working, it wasn't working, that she never had to worry about it, because eventually, even if I was so pissed off and it hadn't worked and I just said, I'm not wearing it for forever again, 3 or 4 or 5 days later, I would come up like, well, what would you think if I put the CP back on again? And she goes, you told me you weren't wearing it for 2 years. We were taking a 6-month break. And I'm like, yeah, well, I was in a different headspace then. And I kind of miss it. And you know, let's give it another shot. I'm up for it. Are you up for it?
And then I would always say, not yet. You'd have to wait for it. You have to earn it back. That's, I mean, seriously, sometimes I get so pissed off. You don't deserve this.
So I don't, if it were to come off today or 2 years ago or 4 years ago, and we'd put it aside, eventually I would have come back and said, hey, can we give this another shot? You know, I miss this portion. I miss that desire that's created.
The connection.
Oh, and the desire, you know, I mean, you increase the sexual desire. Absolutely. But I don't have this urge to continually ramp it up and ramp it up and ramp it up. I did have, being as planning and as meticulous as I am, I did want to make it comfortable and secure. I mean, I did like pretty much sit on those two items and say it has to be comfortable and it has to be secure. We can come up with comfortable, but secure was always a real problem. And if we come up with secure, then comfort could be a real problem. And I was really doggedly on that particular portion of it, but not for increasingly severe sections and things like that. And you know what? It's not a guy thing. The my wife, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not doing that. Okay. You know, that, I get it. You know, it's not just, you know, about me. Mm-hmm. So the answer to the question is, you know, it's not like when we take it off and we're not in it for a month that it's like a cocaine withdrawal or a fentanyl withdrawal. It's not like that. Not for me at least.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I think that and I agree with you also that it's not a more and more and more thing. It's almost an off and on thing where, excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. Because then when it's off, I crave rather, I would rather be locked than not.
Right.
But I don't know that that's a dopamine thing necessarily. I think it's
such a part of our life. Like this is a lifestyle choice. This isn't something that we're doing to get the high. This is just something we choose to add to our dynamic.
Right.
I think it's different.
Right. It's a different level of things for sure. Mm-hmm. But not to say that the level that without it is bad. It's not an improvement. It's just different. A different level. And I think that, I think it's more of a preference to be in that headspace or, you know, that physical space or that headspace. It's just a preference to be in that space than to not be in that space.
I think too, I mean, I don't think it's looked at as, you know, like Steve mentioned in the beginning, about some people participate in this as a kink. And I don't think specifically you two are looking at it as that. This is just an added piece to your relationship. It's like putting a wedding ring on. Right. You know what I mean? It's not, I mean, nobody gets aroused. Maybe you do putting your wedding ring on or whatever, but I think this is just like an addition to your relationship. It's not necessarily a kink, while it can be considered that.
Yeah.
I guess a good example is I can put my wedding ring on without getting a hard on, and she can put the CB on me without getting a hard on as well. Because if I was, she'd have a harder time getting the CB on. So,
Yes.
Yeah.
I can definitely.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I can definitely see where somebody that, you know, we're not every guy is the same. I can definitely see where somebody would want to take it further and further and further and further or whatever to get that, you know, different people have different frames of mind or mentalities or whatever. I can see where that could happen. Uh-huh. But, I can say from experience that that doesn't always happen. I can say that I can confidently say that, you know, for me anyways, once I get to that step, there really isn't a step beyond that necessarily. It's just that step.
I think it's all about your perspective of chastity.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking kind of along those lines. I feel like the question was, you know, craving more and more and more, but I feel like when he's in chastity, it naturally is the more and more and more, because when you take it off, it's that much more exciting, that much more like, I don't know. I feel like it's a natural piece of it in a good way, not in a bad way, in a like, don't worry, it works itself out kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. I've referred to it as a constant state of foreplay.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. You
know, like, every day, 24/7 is you're in that foreplay, and then there's, you know, at some point there's a payoff, and maybe sometimes there isn't. Uh-huh. Right. You know,
depends on your dynamic.
It depends on the dynamic. Yes, uh-huh. Of course. And when you know, counterintuitively, when there isn't a payoff, that in itself is the payoff.
Exactly.
You know,
depending
on where it is. So there is no, there isn't necessarily a.
A need for more dopamine type of thing. I feel like it's there.
In a negative way, yeah. That's the answer.
I love it.
I cannot get over like the fantasy of being pegged while in chastity has always just blown my mind. And that is more. It's not, nothing else has really changed. You can be pegged and you can wear a chastity belt. But being pegged in chastity, it's all over Pornhub and all that other stuff. It's a big thing. And it is a big turn on. I mean, just a huge turn on. And that's no more intense. It and doesn't change. And it's always a huge turn on. And tremendously frustrating. And then what happens is that session ends and you carry that with you. And then when you are let out, it's like, you know, that's so intense. And then you don't have to do anything more. There's nothing radical or crazy about it. You start that process all – we're done, back in, and we just start amping it up again. It's like twisting a spring and creating like, torsion.
Then you're here.
Then all of a sudden, boom, it's like, wow, that was phenomenal. Oh, my God, oh, my God. And then you start the spring unravels, and then you just start winding that spring again. I don't make that spring super tight so it breaks. I want to just, as long as we're winding that string, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We're creating potential energy when we wind that string. And boy, when you release that potential energy, my gosh, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
And the fireworks go off. And
I don't want there to be the misconception either that there aren't ups and downs in these dynamics. Like every other relationship, there's always ups and downs, and they might be intensified by being in chastity. You know, I mean, I've talked to men who experience a lot of guilt, like especially the ones that are doing it by themselves. Like they're really into it. They're gung-ho. They want to do the thing. And then something goes in the back of their mind and then they feel guilty, or they go for so long and then they have a release and then they sink into like a depression or I don't know if it's sub drop. Maybe that would be classified as like a sub drop thing. And then they just can't bring themselves to do it. They feel guilty or they feel like they've let somebody down or I don't know. I mean, they're.
Well, I mean, and that speaks to what the emailer is talking about, where it's the ramp up or whatever. And then the drop down. And maybe that's a thing where like a single man would feel that because they don't have that connection to somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could ever do it as a single man. I mean, I know how lucky I am that Judy was able to change her mindset and come along with me on this trip. Cause it's, you know, this is my trip, you know, this is my, what I saw. And I read blogs and I read questions and you know on it. I feel badly for some of these people. I know what they want, or I understand what they're saying. There's just this, it needs it's easier to be in a couple relationship, especially a good couple relationship, and start the process. It's very difficult to read those emails and understand the angst that's inside of some of these people. And the wishing and the I feel for them. You know, I hope eventually they find that place that they're comfortable in. Yes.
Well, and on that note too, I mean, what would you have done if Judy hadn't gotten on board? I mean, there are men too that are interested in doing this and their wives don't want to. But that would be tough. I mean, you have a long term marriage and you had a long term marriage when this started.
Yeah.
You know, how do you determine, you know, this is important and something that you're really into or something that you really want to participate in? Is it worth giving up your long-term marriage to find somebody that
works? You don't
know. No, I don't know what other people say. I can only answer myself. So I will say this. Even before when we got into this, I would say that the main purpose of my life, I'm most fulfilled when I'm taking care of somebody. Not myself. No, I am. I was built and put on this earth to take care of someone. Dog, child, wife, mother, brother, cousin, whatever. I am at my best when I'm doing that. So if it hadn't worked, I'd still be taking care of Judy. I'd still be doing that. Maybe for years I was playing the subconscious WLM when I was cooking and cleaning and doing the toilets and making sure that, you know, the house was clean and everything was done. And I had said that to Judy. I'm like, even if this doesn't work, I'm still put on this earth to take to take care of you, you know, whether you like it or not, you've got me. If you start when we were in college, and that's why you decided that I was a good enough guy to get into a relationship with, well, good for you. You picked the right one, right?
Good job, Judy.
And there are definitely men. We've all met them, Brian. Like, how does this guy stay married? You know, he is just so he's so into himself. How does he have a bond with anybody? And they're out there, you know. He's so arrogant. He's so, you know, that kind of so self-absorbed. I had a roommate in college that was like that, you know. I ended up taking care of him. Says his mother.
That's why this works for you. Have to find if it works for you.
That's true.
This doesn't work for everybody.
That doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing too. Like you said, you know, when Brian introduced all this to me, I was overwhelmed to say the least. But he said at the end of telling me all of this, if this is something you don't want to do, I still want to be with you. But I had to be open and honest about what I was feeling, what I'm interested in. You know, I'm this age and I've had these relationships and they've not worked and I want to try this. What are your thoughts? And take a few days to think about it. But just know, no matter what you decide, I still want to be together. I just wanted you to know how I was feeling. And I think even though he maybe didn't approach it in the right way by dumping it all in my lap, I think that he did it in the best way possible.
I didn't know any better at the time.
Right.
You know,
and it's not like a guidebook. You dump her in the deep end and you see if she comes back up.
100%. And similar to you, Steve, I think that if this wouldn't have come down this road, I would have still been, you know, I still would have treated her the same way. I would have still done all the same things the same way, just because that's how I'm wired, you know, and I'm wired that way, you know, from observations and environments and a little bit of genetics, probably. I don't know, but that's just how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. You know, it just makes sense to me to take person you're with. I mean, that just makes sense that way.
As you get older, you learn how you're wired. You learn what gives you fulfillment.
Yeah.
I was in my 20s when I figured out I like cooking for her. I like, you know, taking care of her. The fact that she was a few years younger than me in college, I like looking out after her. And it started then.
I just got a picture. I don't know, Christine, but I got a picture to whack-a-mole when you were saying, like, dump it on her and see what happens. It's like, no, keep popping up. Whack. Keep popping up. Can't keep it down.
That's exactly how I felt, too. Like, I would kind of grasp one thing, and then it would be, wham, here's another one. But this is probably, I've said this thousands of times on this podcast, this is by far the most healthy and fulfilling relationship that I've been in. And I've never felt more comfortable or confident that we can handle anything together because I know that we know how to communicate. And that is so important. So I'm thankful that I popped back up and he stopped hitting me.
Now you do the hitting.
It was worth it.
In the same respect, we didn't, you know, we were already in a long-term committed relationship when I met, but I wanted to make sure we stayed that way. And, you know, when she realized that a lot of people grow apart because they cannot, you know, they can't go to the next thing together, so they grow apart. And but she realized that was important, that how I was approaching it or why I thought this was important. It changed her hope. It wasn't just a kinky thing. It was like a relationship thing. And yes, you're right. I want to be in this relationship forever.
Well, and props to you for getting at that. I mean, you know, a lot of empty nesters split because they don't know how to interact once their kids are out of the house because the kids are such a focus.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's like, who are you again?
And not to be sexist.
We sat across the table and said, we don't have a ton in common now that we're with 30 years later. You know, I like sports and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, watching TV. And I'm like, well, here's something we can do together.
Yes. Yes.
And it's probably one of the most important things to do together. Sports is transitory, you know, that kind of thing. But love and sex, that's not so transitory. If you can connect, that's a huge thing to do together, you know. You don't have to have a ton in common, but if you can connect on those points, that's a great thing.
Yeah. And then when you connect on those points, that makes you want to find other things that you can do together, like
absolutely,
or going out in a camper and or movies, whatever it might be. Like, I like being with, let's find other things that we like together, you know.
There was a reason that you got together, like, originally, so.
That's fine.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. Do you have anything else? Right. I mean, we could sit and talk for days, but I'm going to have to pee soon.
Yeah. Bring her in for landing.
All that coffee.
Yes. Well, and I had a Celsius, so I am ready to go.
Ready to explode.
I appreciate you guys a second time with us. We won't lose this one. We're not going to San Francisco anytime soon, and it's in the cloud, so.
Yeah. Steal that, fuckers.
I'd be interested to hear what reaction you get to the podcast.
Yeah, what people think.
What people think.
I will remember to shoot you a text before it drops. I will try to get it on Patreon first.
Yeah.
I am not making any promises. I shouldn't say try.
It'll go on Patreon first.
Yes.
And we'll go from there.
Throw up the unedited version on Patreon first. Let them see the whole ins and outs. I mean, if they're paying for Patreon, they're now already in this.
Yep. And we didn't say anything about our kids, so I don't even know. I mean, usually I'll probably go in and on it, or take out like the break part.
Yes, should take out the 10 minutes while Brian was around back tying down the ropes.
So thank you for being here. I appreciate you guys. I would love to have you back again. Maybe here's a thought. If you have questions that you would like to hear Judy and Steve answer on the podcast, like a quarterly Q&A.
Like a roundtable.
Yes, that would be fun.
Just an excuse to hang out.
Yeah. If we're not passing each other on the highway.
Now listen, this is not cool. Yep. I know your schedule.
Yep. There you go.
Now I just have to see if I have a that can make it.
Yep.
We got this.
Maybe we'll find you in a bus.
Oh.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Perfect. Love it. So thank you for being here. I think that's it. Everyone, do I say everyone? Take care. Stay healthy. Be safe. Good. Love you all.
Thank you so much for listening today. I genuinely appreciate your time. If you happen to have any questions, all of my contact information is in the show notes of this and every episode. Don't hesitate to reach out. Also, in the show notes, there is a link to my Patreon, where your support is incredibly appreciated. Patrons have access to advanced and extra content from this and other podcasts that we produce, FLR consulting via messages and video, and input on the production of each podcast. There is also a link to my OnlyFans page. My fans on that platform have access to full and sample erotic audios and other posts. OnlyFans is now the safe place where you can order custom erotic audios, videos, and photos. Mention that you heard it on this podcast for a 10% discount. Most importantly, though, if you have the option to rate and review my podcast on the platform you listen to it on, please do. Good ratings and reviews help boost my podcast in the charts so that more and more people are able to hear what I have to say about the lifestyle. Until next week, be good to yourself and each other.